This is episode number 3 of the WordPress Authority Show with 4-star authority site owner Joe Polizzi of ContentMarketingInstitute.com. Today's show is Authority Framework, where we ask our guest authorities how they use plugins, themes, and services as solutions to the common problems you too will face using WordPress in your publishing business. For more information on the show formats and for other shows in this season and series, make sure to check out wpauthorities.com/shows. But what is an authority site?
So when I think of an authority website,
I think of the place that people go when they want to learn from the best. I think of where the credibility lies.
You will respect my authority.
Hey, I hope you're having a great day wherever you happen to be in the world today. Thanks so much for spending some quality time with me. I'm Trevor Turnbull, your host, and I'm really excited to share this show with Joe Polizzi of ContentMarketingInstitute.com with you. Now, we've ranked Joe and his sites as a 4-star authority on the merit of having an Alexa rank of just over 7,400 and a total subscriber base of over 175,000 for his website, ContentMarketingInstitute.com. Now, Joe talked about a number of great nuggets of information that if you are in this space, you are going to love this stuff. He talked about how he communicates with and recruits influencers in their niche to be able to build authority in the content marketing space. This is a very, very simple but also very intricate system that you can implement yourself. And he talks about step-by-step exactly how he goes about doing this. Joe also talked to us about the most effective tool that he uses on his website to turn his traffic into subscribers and ultimately generates real revenue from that traffic and those subscribers. And we also talked with Joe about an advertising model that he calls the benefactor model, which has helped him generate significant revenue from his online advertising inventory. All right, so let's get right into the show right after this message. Are you a WordPress authority subscriber? Don't miss your shot to claim your authority. Subscribe to our email list at wpauthorities.com. Question for you. What's your problem? Seriously though, we're here to find solutions to your biggest problems in your own WordPress authority website business. How would you like a coach to review your site, to recommend solutions, and even implement them for you on the spot? Every week on the WordPress Authority Show, a lucky winner will get a free report, action guide, and a 15-minute coaching session delivered via Google Hangout or Skype. To qualify, simply go to iTunes, find the WordPress Authority Show, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, hopefully a 5-star review, and then most importantly, post your biggest problem at wpauthorities.com/coaching. And now it's time for the WordPress Authority Show, where you're so money, you don't even know it. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the WordPress Authorities Podcast, where we show you how to model the masters of WordPress publishing to create, grow, and monetize your own authority website. Today's show is Problems and Solutions. Let's get right into it. So speaking of managing content and everything to do with WordPress in particular, and specifically some of the challenges and the problems with it, it's not always, you know, perfect with WordPress, as I'm sure you know as well. So what are, first of all, some of the challenges that you face, some of the problems that you face with WordPress as it relates to managing ideas? So, you know, researching keywords, having those keywords become concepts into articles, become passed on to an author and written and reworked and retitled and everything else, and ultimately published and marketed. So just that whole flow of content as it relates to using WordPress as a content management system. What are some of the challenges?
We've tried a little bit of everything. We've used just WordPress proper. We've also used tools like Kapost. I don't know if you're familiar with Kapost. Kapost is a content it's a content management system that sits over top of WordPress. So I can use that. And a lot of people will say, oh, there's plugins or there's things that you can do in WordPress as well as that. But they'll do the things like, you know, here's the keywords. Here's how I can do changes, redline and strikeout in this document before we get it into WordPress. And honestly, we prefer that. I don't want to necessarily have any of our influencers, any of our writers in WordPress itself. I know you can do it. I don't want that done. For some reason, that's too close to publishing, and I don't want them too close to that step of where we're going to make it live.
Right.
So we do a lot of that outside in tools like Kapost. In some cases, we still use Google Docs or spreadsheets or whatever. We try to customize it, or we try to keep it streamlined around Kapost. The bigger issue that we have around WordPress is just around plugins. It's always been around plugins. We see one that we like, for example, we've always used ones around social. So, oh, we're going to use the social plugins, and then somebody, the ones we were using, doesn't update it anymore, and then we're done. Like, oh, okay, what are we going to do now? Yeah. So now we've been like the social plugin that we have on our site right now. That's a custom plugin that we created.
Okay. Yeah.
And we've tried to limit the amount of plugins. There was a time I think we had something like 20 or 30 plugins just running simultaneously in WordPress, and it was bogging down the system a little bit.
Yeah.
And we scaled that back. It's almost like I think the biggest issue is you can do so much, and then you usually find a plugin for it, and then you have to decide whether you want to do it yourself or do it with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of like we've got some plugins from the outside and some that we do our own.
Right.
The great thing is you get some really good smart designers and smart programmers around there, and even if they charge a larger hourly rate, it's going to be so much less expensive than if you're going to do something in a .NET or even a Drupal or a Joomla.
Yeah. So with regards to these plugins then too, have you explored the idea of packaging them up and reselling them too, or are you just using them internally for your own projects and company and clients?
Not at all. I wouldn't even want to look at that area. I mean, we dabbled in technology a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I made the decision that we are not in the technology business.
Gotcha.
And it's a much, much different business. We are in the content and ideas business.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really, really good at. And we just want the technology to be seamless, right? Mm-hmm. We just want to make sure. And one of the things that we've actually struggled with, this is another struggle if you want to go back to managing it. We have a responsive mobile site.
Yeah.
But the design that we have doesn't make it as responsive as it could be. So what we're in the process of doing right now is a better design so that it looks more responsive. So if you go and you go onto your iPad or you go into your smartphone and you look at contentmarketinginstitute.com, it'll do all, you know, it'll shrink down and things will reformat the way it needs to. But because of the way we design the site, it looks, I don't want to say hokey. It doesn't look right.
There's always room for improvement.
There's much room for improvement. So that mobile issue is a big issue that we need to look at. But no, we're not in technology. We're never going to be. We're not going that direction.
Gotcha. And with regards to the theme of your site, then, is that a custom built thing too, or are you using something off the shelf that's, you know, just slightly customized?
Yeah. Well, so we're a customized Genesis.
Okay. Yeah.
So we use Brian Clark's Genesis platform. We worked with them initially to get our design up and running, and we will continue on that platform.
Yeah.
And then our new design will be based off of that as well.
Gotcha. It's definitely a common theme for the publishing world, I think, to be using Genesis and Brian Clark's software.
Brian's very persuasive.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's obviously working because, you know, from a business standpoint, you wouldn't use something if it wasn't efficient and effective for what you needed to do.
That's,
so
that's exactly right.
Yeah. All right. So now let's talk about the whole concept of managing authors too. I had no idea that you had that many people that are writing for you, which obviously can be a daunting task. And just the thought of it, I'm sure for most people listening to this, is just like, oh my God, I can't even manage, you know, one or two inquiries a week. So let's talk about that. Some of the challenges, problems of managing authors, and not only managing them, but finding great authors in the community, managing the flow of that content and the communication back and forth. What are some of the challenges that you face as it relates to running a WordPress-based business and managing those authors?
Okay. Well, I think the first thing is you have to make a decision if that's the model that you want. I don't think you just say, oh, should we take contributors today? Mm-hmm. No, or influencers? I mean, you need to figure out what your model is. There are plenty of publishing models and WordPress models out there that just use, here's our defined contributors. They're consistent contributors. They're part of our staff. Done.
Yeah.
We made the decision, and it's actually a very strategic decision, reason why we went with influencer model. And by the way, start small, right? We started with five.
Yeah.
Start with 10. We've grown over the last 7 years to over 200. And yeah, we get about 2 or 3 inquiries a day now, but that's because when you become an authority site, you start getting a lot of inquiries because everybody wants to do guest posting, regardless of what Matt Cutts says, whether guest posting is dead, which is probably a whole nother conversation we could have. So I guess what I would say is we went with that influencer model. So our contributors, we look as influencers. And why? Because we needed more audience. And so we wanted contributors that had an audience. So when we had them on our site, they would promote it to their audience. And we were trying to get, frankly, their audience become our audience because we wanted more subscribers. And subscribers runs our entire business model. Yeah. Like the value of a subscriber runs everything we do. I know those people then sign up for our events. They come to our web events, live events. We can monetize those through advertising, sponsorship, whatever. So very, very important.
Yeah.
So I would start there. And the way that we started was used Google Alerts and used Twitter hashtags and followed people and what people were saying and said, okay, just asked ourselves, where are our customers hanging out when they're not on our site?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Make your list of 10, right? We started with a list of 40, actually. But we just happened to do that because we were ranking them and trying to figure out who should we go after. And then once we did that, we started to share their content with our audience to try to build a relationship with those people. We didn't reach right out to them. We started to build the audience first build that relationship first. Yeah. And then when we were ready, we started to bake them into our content. So we started to create ebooks, larger content bundles, like Jay Baer would call it a content brick. And then we baked in an influencer so that when we were done with the piece of content, we would want them, hey, Jay Baer, you're on page 9 of our ebook. And Jay says, oh, this is great, and shares it with his audience.
His
audience comes to our site. We can try to convert those people.
Yeah.
So that's just wanted to share the strategy behind it first so people don't just go, jumping into it. And now we've got a lot of contributors, and we've got to be careful with who we take and who we don't and go through that process and whatnot. So the way that we do the management of that is we have guidelines. So the first thing it says is, hey, Joe, I'm from xyz.com. I love content marketing. I want to write for your site. I send that over to Jody, our managing editor. And the first thing Jody does is says, here's our guidelines.
Yeah.
If you don't approve of these guidelines, basically we have the rights to use this as we feel. We can edit it. We can do whatever we want with it. And that's if you can live with these rules, that's great. If they say, okay, we'll do it. Then what we do is they say, okay, we'll give you one shot. So we give you one post. And if you do really well and perform, like we've got basic performance measures on each post.
Mm-hmm.
And when those performance measures hit certain things like social shares, page traffic, and conversions on subscribers, and we like what we see, then we invite them back for regular contribution. So that's from that standpoint, that's the most important thing, because if you don't set that out there that they really – it's almost like a trial and error basis. If they don't pass the first trial, sorry, we're not going to ask you back again.
Yeah.
And we're very clear with those expectations.
Are you finding that you have to pay these types of individuals, the ones that have the established influence and authority in their niche already that you're, courting to come and write for your site? Or is it kind of a mutual benefit that both sides are getting and they can see that, you can see that, and, maybe it evolves over time?
Yeah, it's a mutual benefit. There's no payment that goes on. I mean, we pay our staff, obviously, to edit and proofread and do the titles and stuff. but the contributors aren't paid. And I really think that the model works well if people want the exposure. In some cases, they actually, and I'm not going to make a generalist statement, but in a lot of cases, the content that you get that's free is sometimes a lot better than what you pay for. I have found, because what this is their reputation on the line. Right. That's why you go after influencers and not just contributors from anywhere.
Yeah.
If it's an influencer, they care about their reputation.
Yeah.
They care about where they put their content. It's not any little thing for them to say, I'm going to write for your site.
Right.
It means something.
Yeah.
So if you focus on those people that really care about what people think about them and that drives their business, then you're going to probably in most cases get good content. So you could almost just exclusively limit your influencers to those type of people.
Gotcha.
Thanks so much for sharing your time with us here today. Now, please tell me, I'm dying to know, did you enjoy the podcast? Did you get clarity on your biggest challenge, obstacle, or problem that you're currently facing in your own WordPress authority business? If so, then don't miss out on the chance to win a coaching review this week. Just head over to iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment, and then head back to wpauthorities.com/coaching to tell us your pain in the ass, and we'll make sure that we play doctor for you. And stay tuned for our next show in this series, due in your inbox each and every day. Make sure to subscribe via iTunes or head over to our website, wpauthorities.com, and subscribe via email. Until tomorrow,
you will respect my authority.